This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, who represents the Golden State's 46th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We want to get his thoughts on the visit of Chinese leader Hu Jintao to Washington to meet with President Obama and what the congressman believes is the best way to improve our economic position with China, who has advantages over us not only with massive debt investment, but also with a trade imbalance. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
How dire is our economic posture with respect to China right now, given how much they've bought our debt to this point and to the extent that they're devaluing their currency and getting an upper hand on our trade relationship?
Well, just remember, three decades ago, China was a weak country, and we have taken revenue, we have taken money and wealth from our society and developed policies that would transfer that wealth to China to build up their economy and their strength and their prosperity. We have to wonder, now, was that what was really in the interest of the American people? At that time, the theory was, if you make them more prosperous, they're going to be more peaceful, and they'll become more democratic. I call it the hug a Nazi, make a liberal theory. And I'm afraid that it didn't work, and what we have instead is created a Frankenstein monster that not only now threatens the world, but has resulted in this transfer of wealth and technology and investment from the United States to China. It is impoverishing our own people. So this has been a catastrophic miscalculation on the part of policymakers in the United States.
And what's the best way to address it? How do we get the genie back in the bottle, for lack of a better phrase?
Well, the most important thing is for us to start laying down and drawing the lines that we have been able to do. If indeed we are going to continue to have a relationship with them where they are, for example, going to continue to have access to our markets, we have to make sure that they lower and eliminate the barriers to American products being sold in their markets. We've got to start enforcing the idea that no longer are we going to see an unfair transfer of wealth from the people of the United States to the people of China. We are going to demand that there be equal trading relationships and that they not be able to manipulate their currency so that there, again, there's a flow of wealth into their country from our people. We just got to be tough on them and representing the interests of the American people. And not vision of a better world guiding our negotiators.
What kind of leverage do we have to actually make them go along with that? It's obvious that we could definitely demand that, but given their position, especially with all the debt they've bought from us, what is our leverage to make them do that without...
It's going to be a lot tougher right now than it would have been had we made this realization when we should have, which was at the time of Tiananmen Square. Ronald Reagan wanted to, and I worked with President Reagan on his speeches when he went to China, and it was very clear. If they keep liberalizing and opening up their society, we would continue having open markets and investment and technology to help build up the Chinese people. But with Tiananmen Square, when they slaughtered the democracy movement, unlike Ronald Reagan, who would have called up the Chinese and say, you do this, and all of those deals are off, former President Bush just let it continue, as did Bill Clinton and as did George W. Bush. They've got leverage now. We've created this Frankenstein monster. It's a lot more difficult now to face down the Frankenstein monster than it was when we were creating it. So, no, but we're just going to have courage, and we're going to have to understand that they now are becoming a threat. They're heading an alliance of rogue nations, allying themselves with North Korea, with the worst elements in Pakistan and radical Islam, in Sudan, and with this guy, this Caudillo down in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, and the rest. So we've got to basically let them know and thwart them in these endeavors.
You mentioned Tiananmen Square, and of course, the issue of human rights has come up many, many times with respect to the Chinese. I remember you making a passionate case against most favored nation status,
well,
as it was known.
On the floor against the most favored nation status. Remember this: we are welcoming President Hu to our country today. President Hu is the head of a regime that is the world's worst human rights abuser, and we are treating him as if he's a democratic leader. This is wrong. This is the type of legitimacy that we are giving a group of gangsters, and it will demoralize our greatest allies. Our greatest allies in this whole effort are the Chinese people, people who long for freedom and long for justice, and aren't belligerent toward the United States. They are going to be demoralized that we are siding with their oppressors, and we are actually legitimizing the oppression that exists in China.
Congressman, you mentioned the demands we can make economically. What can we realistically demand in terms of how they treat their own people?
Well, we can realistically say that as long as, for example, the Falun Gong are being put into prison by the thousands, and these are just practitioners in yoga and meditation, we will not permit China to, we will file charges against China that will prevent them from selling, at the least, from selling human organs to individuals in the West. Right now, they actually murder their religious prisoners, the Falun Gong, and sell their organs. I mean, what could be more ghoulish than that? We can make sure that we call them to task and publicly call them to task over and over again on their human rights abuses with Christians and others who we can discourage our own businessmen rather than we've been encouraging them, actually giving them subsidies to go over and build factories. We should be telling our business community, you are dealing with the Nazis here. You're dealing with people who are murdering people for their religious convictions, and we do not look on it as consistent with American tradition that you're going over there and setting up a factory so you can take advantage of slave labor. So we need to make sure our business community understands that we no longer will put up with them doing the bidding of these gangsters.
Last question, sir, whether it's on the economic front or the human rights front, how confident are you that the Obama administration made the Chinese aware of where we are and how far we're willing to go to make them change here?
I'll be very fair in this answer, and the answer is it's not just the Obama administration. This was true of, as I say, all the way back to Herbert Walker Bush. When Reagan reached out to the Chinese, he made it clear that if they were going to have these human rights abuses, that there wouldn't be the economic deals. And then Bush just chopped that part off the agreement. And so whether it's Obama or whether it's the other administrations that we've had, Republican and Democrat, some our big corporations have been making bigger profits, giving their CEOs more bonus checks in their pocket in order to shut down manufacturing in the United States and ship it to China. We've got to be able to do that. And if it means tying it directly just to human rights rather than just economics, then that's what we should do. Because if you have tyrants and the communists or the Nazis of the world, and we try and we let them become stronger because we're treating them like we do democratic countries, it's not only going to hurt us prosperity-wise, it's not only going to put Americans out of work, it's also going to threaten the peace of the world, and that means our security here at home.
Such a difficult challenge on so many fronts. Congressman, thank you very much for your time today.
All right. God bless.
Same to you, sir. California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher represents his state's 46th Congressional District, member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.